good morning to all of you. We are so glad that you're able to join in with us today. Those of you that joined us by way of Facebook or by way of our phone line, we want to tell you thank you and praise God. We have entered into the month of September, the ninth month of the year. We're getting there, getting there. And this morning we want to say a very happy birthday to those of you that were born in the month of September. Amen. Amen. We're going to open up our service right now as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our most holy and everlasting Father God, here we are, your children. We come now, God, in the precious name of Jesus. We acknowledge, God, we're not worthy enough to stand in your presence. But we want to thank you for the blood of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of the sacrifice that he made on Calvary, we now have a right to the tree of life. And that's why we boldly approach your presence today, God, and asking you to come by here. There's someone here that needs you, God. There's someone under the sound of my voice that needs you, oh God. There's someone, oh God, that's sick, and there's someone that's sad. Lord Jesus, and there may be one that have lost the joy they had. We're asking you right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will cover them with your blood. Lord Jesus, you will encourage those that are discouraged. Father, you will lift up those that are fallen. And those of us, Father God, that as we come to you, we pray, God, have your way. Lord Jesus, as we set aside this Sunday, the first Sunday, to worship you and to remember you even in communion, I pray, God, that you would come in our midst. You would do a new thing, oh God, in our lives. Move, God. Speak, God. Do whatever you need to do, for we need you. I pray, Father God, for our pastor and your leader, as he would bring forth the bread of life today. We ask you, oh God, that you would hide him behind the cross. And do what only you can do. We want to tell you thank you. And we want to praise you in advance for what you're going to do in this service today. We set ourselves aside right now. And we say, have your way, God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Do whatever you want to do, God. We submit ourselves to your will. We submit ourselves to your purpose. We submit ourselves to your plan. Do what you want to do in our midst today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will be coming from Psalms, the 95th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Psalms 95, verses 1 through 6. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And the word of God is already blessed. Amen. Oh,
that's me.
Yes, sir.
I like that.
Yes, Lord.
The reason why I like this, I'm glad about it because I see my neighbor getting blessed.
Hey.
I see God moving the life of someone or the child of God.
Yeah.
That means he's still in the blessing business.
Amen. Amen.
And the next time he moves, might just be my time.
Yeah.
And we ought to be thankful when we see God doing something else, because God will never pass us by. I don't need, that's not part of my sermon, but y'all need me to preach it. Ask the disciples while they were on the ship in the middle of the storm.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going to pass them by.
Yes.
He would never pass us by while we're in a circumstance or situation.
Thank you, Lord.
God will never do that.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank God for this Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Like I said, we got the 9th mile post of this year. God has kept it. Many who have started on with us at the beginning of the year are not here anymore. But God in infinite wisdom, mercy, and grace has kept us.
Yes.
And we ought to be thankful for that. He didn't have to do anything for us, but because he died for us.
Uh-huh.
And that's good enough.
Amen.
There's a word from the Lord to encourage us in our walk with the Lord today.
Well.
If you're turning in your Bible to the Old Testament of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I would like this morning for my conversation with you to shine a sermonic spotlight on verses 1 through 7. For my Bible readers, this is a familiar text.
Yes.
God has convinced me there's some fresh water in this old well.
Yes, amen.
2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
Father God, once again, and it's another time, it is preaching and teaching time. We are unable to do this by ourselves. Father God, we're not even worthy to proclaim your word.
Jesus.
Father God, you took earthen vessels such as myself, and you poured something into me and asked me to pour it out to your people.
Yes,
Father God, look beyond my faults and see my needs. Look on my faults and see their needs. Cover me in the blood of your son, Jesus. Use me in spite of me. Hide me behind the cross. Come against Satan right now as he goes to and fro trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Let this word go forth with power and with might. With restoration in it, oh Father God. With reformation in it, oh Father God. With redemption in it, Father God. With encouragement in it for your people. In a time like this, we need a Savior like your son Jesus. We need you to stick close to us more than a friend can stick close to us. And Father God, we need a word from you. And without a word from you, what would we do? We ask, oh Father God, anoint your word afresh right now. You said in your word that your word would not return to you void. It would accomplish what you sent it out to do. So right now, heal somebody, encourage somebody, save somebody. Father God, make somebody change their mind about you right now in the name of Jesus. And whatever is accomplished in this setting, oh Heavenly God, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people heareth. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to be reading to you this morning out the King James Version. Verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels.
Yes.
And thou shalt set aside that which is full.
Yes, Lord.
So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. I want to draw a sermonic topic from verse 3. From the B clause of verse 3. It says, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. I'd like to use for a topic to tag this text this morning. Don't put God in a box. Don't put God in a box. My brothers and sisters, here again is one of those strange and enigmatic Old Testament stories that involves this mysterious miracle-working prophet of old named Elisha. For he has been Elijah's understudy. Elijah's apprentice. Elijah's student. And he has been mentored by this elderly man of God. I need to throw this in here parenthetically, that every Elisha needs an Elijah.
Amen.
That's not the sermon, but every old man needs to find a young man who is messed up and on the wrong road, and help him get straightened out. Because somebody had to help us get straightened out. Every Ruth, Reverend Lyles, ought to have a Naomi. Every John Mark needs a Barnabas. Every Timothy ought to have a Paul. Because you need somebody to help you in your faith walk. Help your child this morning, Lord.
Amen.
You, we need to be around godly people. I repeat myself, people of God. We need to make ourselves be around godly people. They can give you some experiences of their faith that can help you build your faith. You build your faith not only with experiences, but by hearing the stories of other people that God has been good to. When I hear about miracles in somebody else's life, it encouraged me that God is still able to work a miracle in my own life.
Amen.
When I'm discouraged, pastor, get discouraged, I need somebody to come alongside me to encourage me that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
That kind of talk wakes up my faith. It stirs my faith to know that no matter how dark my situation, God can work it out. Here is Elisha, who is happened upon by this widow whose husband was a son of the prophets. He is now dead, and now she and her sons are bereft of income. They are left destitute by his perhaps sudden passing. And they are in debt to their creditors. They have nothing with which to pay. So she finds the man of God, and she pours out her complaint to Elisha. Walk with Pastor, y'all. Elisha says, what do you want me to do? And upon the heels of that question, Elisha says, whatever I'm going to do, it is going to require your participation. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, But you need to do what you need to do. You need to participate in your own breakthrough. Oh my goodness. You need to have a hand in your own miracle. You need to join in with me to participate in your own coming out. Don't pray and ask God for a job, y'all, and you're not looking for one.
Amen.
Don't pray and ask God for deliverance from some situation, and you're not an active participant. If you dislike somebody, and that dislike has turned to bitter hatred, you can't hate somebody you are praying for. Start doing the opposite of what you have been doing, and see how God will bring you out of that situation. It is hard for you to hate somebody you are praying for. When you participate in your own deliverance, God will do what God will do. But you have to do what you can do. Walk your path here. Help me, somebody. You need further proof of that, since y'all think I'm not in the book. Peter was in jail. He had been put in jail because he was preaching the gospel. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Peter had fallen asleep. He was sleeping so soundly, God was ready to deliver him. And God sent an angel. And Peter was sleeping so hard, the angel had to wake him up. Because when you know you are doing the will of God, and you're in trouble for doing the right thing, you can go to sleep. Fret not because of evildoers. I wish I had time to hang out right there. But the angel shook him and woke him up. The angel brought Peter to the outer gates of the prison. And when Peter got to the gate that he could not open, watch me now, the angel opened it for him. The Bible says when Peter got to a place he knew where he was, the angel disappeared from sight. Why? Because God will do what you can't do. But when you can't handle it, he will disappear from your sight. Don't ask God to do what you can do. Sometimes our prayers, Brother Lyle, are full of errands that we want to run God on, that we can do ourselves. You check on somebody in hospital. That's right. You go and check on somebody in hospital. Call them up. You help those that are poor and needy. You can do that. You don't need God to do that. God has given you the wherewithal to do that. The Holy Ghost is not just for shouting on Sunday, but it enables you to get work done on Monday. Oh, can I get a witness up in here? Deliver me from somebody who is all church and no obligation or commitment. All hand clapping and foot stomping. That's good. I love that. We should celebrate in church. But the Holy Ghost is not concerned about how high you can jump when you feel the Spirit, but how straight you walk when you come down. How many lives have you made better because of what you heard me preach last Sunday and Sunday this Monday? The man of God says, what do you have? She said, your handmaid has nothing but this jar of oil. Here's what the prophet tells her to do. The prophet says to her, get your sons. Tell your boys, go around the neighborhood. Go everywhere they can. Get all the vessels they can find. Bring them to your house. But listen, woman of God, don't limit your blessing. Borrow not a few. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Don't put God in a box. God has so much that he wants to do in your life, but you put God in a box, and God has always been able to work in your life. When you bring God everything, see how quiet you got right there? That's right. When you bring God everything, because there are some things in your life that you're not ready to turn loose. I'm going to say that again. There's some things in our life we're not ready to turn it loose. There's some sins you're not ready to get rid of. There's some issues and some hang-ups that you are harboring to yourself, and the Lord says, give it all to me. Because if you got some secret thing that you are holding on to that is stunting your spiritual growth, I say it again, that hide it behind a choir robe. You can hide it behind your title at the church. That's right. You hide your stuff behind titles you got in the church. Deacon, deaconess, sister, brother, choir director, preacher. You can hide it behind that little white thing that you put on your head on the first Sunday. But when you bring it all to the Lord and give it all to the Lord, he can do more with it than you can. Because God is waiting for somebody this morning to bring it all. I want to ask you the question. I want to ask you the question, people of God. Are you really sold out? Does God have your money? Does he have your money? Does God have your mind? Does God have your heart? Does God have your property? Does God have your issues? Does God have your problems? Does God have your hang-ups? If not, then you are half sold out or almost sold out. See, that's what I see. That's what I'm talking about. That's not a shout message in this bar. That is why you can't get happy. That's why you can't get happy on the truth. Don't nobody send me when I'm finished this sermon today. Don't inbox me. Don't send me no email because you don't like what I said. Don't text me. Don't call me. Whether you know it or not, or choose to believe it, I do preach what God tells me to preach. Even if it makes me uncomfortable. God this morning is trying to get somebody ready for the blessing, ready for the next level. Holy Ghost, work on their minds right now in the name of Jesus. You know you got some stuff. You have not sold God yet. Yes, yes. You're putting God in a box. The reason I can praise God and preach with such enthusiasm because I give God all my problems, all my sins. I'm not lying to him about anything. I don't have anything in my coat pocket I don't want him to see. I don't have anything up my sleeve. God knows everything about me. And I tell him it. I confess it to him. He knows everything that's wrong. I have confessed it to him. Yeah. Y'all hear me? Yeah. I have no secret faults or sins. I give it all to the Lord so that he can anoint me with his power and his blood so I can preach to you with a clear conscience and conviction. And if you know something about me, so what? I told the Lord about it already. And God forgave me. And if you got a problem with it, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Stop letting people of God, stop letting people smother your amen. Stop letting people drown your hallelujahs. Yes. God brought you out, and you ought to thank God for that. Amen. Let me try to make this thing plain for y'all and make it applicable.
Yes.
Elisha says, now if you want to come out of this, the way you need to come out of this, let me tell you what you do. Go borrow some vessels. And however many you bring, that's how blessed you're going to be. If you bring a little bit, all you're going to get is a little bit. But if you get everything you can get your hands on, can I get a witness up here?
Yeah.
However much you want to be blessed, that's how much you're going to get bring.
Yeah.
I want to tell somebody on the sound of my voice this morning, if you want to be blessed, however much Holy Ghost you got in you, because the oil represents the Holy Ghost. Let Pastor teach you now. However much in you are willing to give, that is how much God is going to bless you. If you came with nothing, you will leave unfulfilled. You pay your tithes when you feel like it, or when you have done all that you caused yourself to have to pay. Then you wonder why God won't bless you like you need to be blessed financially. No, because you are putting God in a box. Your gain is limited because you have placed our God in a box. Nobody can teach you faith. Nobody can teach you faith. We can teach you religion. Yeah. We can teach you church work. Yeah. They can teach you how to act and respond when we say the welcome. They can teach you how to say giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to the pastor in his absence. It's easy to learn church talk, but you have to live faith. I say it again. You got to live faith. You have to go through some things in order for you to get faith. Oh, you can't just talk through faith. You have to have some life experiences under your belt so you can talk about how strong your faith is. Because if your faith has never been tested, you can't brag on how strong it is. I need somebody who has had to cry in the midnight hour. Yes. Have I got a witness? Yes. I need somebody who has had to laugh to keep from crying. Yes. And when all the company left the house, you had to go in the room and start crying. Yes. But the Lord dragged you out.
Yes. Yes.
The Lord opened doors in your life. The Lord made a way. Your faith is strong, and you are not just talking about it. I used to foolishly believe, y'all, that you have to be old to have some faith. We used to laugh at old people in church. Those of us who were raised in church, we used to play church after church because we would laugh at how those old people would shout and how the preacher would preach. We would mock how the deacons prayed and laugh how they fell out in the choir stand. Us, we would laugh when we saw the usher had to grab somebody and put smelling salts under their nose, fan them and try to calm them down. Yeah, we'd laugh about that. I know about our preacher kid. We would act like that when we got home because we were playing church. But some of us have been through enough now.
Yes.
Some of us have been through enough now that we're not playing anymore. Because God has brought us out through some stuff. God has brought us through enough now that we don't have to act like nobody else. We know how to praise God for ourselves because our faith is getting stronger and stronger because of what we have already been through. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Elisha says, go borrow some vessels and borrow not a few. The vessels in the allegory in this text, can that pastor teach in a minute? The vessels represent a body, a flesh and blood body. And the oil represents the spirit of the living God. And Elisha is saying to this woman, and what I want to say here to the members of New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church and the people of God under my voice, that when you have the vessels with no oil in it, you can experience restoration. Y'all didn't hear. Let me slow it down. You can have a church full of people, full of vessels, but no oil in them. Y'all hear me? You can experience restoration without revelation. You can get needs met without revelation. And when needs are met without divine revelation, you're going to get in trouble again. In other words, when you get done what you want to get done in your flesh, without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you will start bragging on yourself. And you will crave other people's recognition. You will be hurt if others don't pay you or pat you on the back or pay you any attention. But when you get divine revelation, you don't care who likes you or who don't. You don't care who pats you on the back because you ain't come to church. You ain't serving God for the preacher. You serving God for God. It's all about God. You don't care who's on your side, who's not on your side, who's with you or who's not with you. Just like God brought you out before, you got confidence. Spiritual confidence that God will do the same thing again. You thought it was over when you got divorced, but look at you now. Look at you now. You thought it was the end of the line when you walked off that last job, but God never closes that door unless he's getting ready to open another door. Don't you put God in a box, people of God. Don't you dare put my God in a box. You thought that when those friends got out of your life, you would be miserable. But now you're so happy now that when you get up, you can't wait to get up in the morning. Yeah. Don't you dare put God in a box. Sometimes God has to separate us from what we can't get along with to let us know that he was there all the time. Don't you dare put God in a box. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom. Listen to me now. You have to hit rock bottom before you can shout about the rock that's at the bottom. Don't you put God in a box. Amen. Sometimes God has to get you out of a certain crowd. God has to get you away from a particular condition. God has to deliver you from a particular circumstance for you to recognize all you need is God. Don't you dare put God in a box. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Now, Father Pastor, here come clap. This is your time for you to participate now. Watch me now. Help the Holy Ghost. Help him, Lord. Y'all don't make me have to preach the message all over again.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the answer the first time.
Yes.
And next time I ask the question, I need you to follow up with the answer. Uh-huh. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the answer the first time. And the next time I ask a question, all you got to do is just give me the answer.
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Okay. When Jesus was born of a virgin,
uh-huh,
the person behind that was God.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Uh-huh.
Who put Jesus in the womb of Mary?
God.
Y'all got it.
Yeah.
Who turned the water into wine through Jesus? God. Oh, y'all got it.
Yeah.
Who raised Peter's mother-in-law through Jesus?
God.
Who got Lazarus up out of the grave through Jesus? God. Who raised Jesus from the grave?
God,
you got it. You got it.
Yes.
When you got in trouble, who delivered you?
God.
When you were down on your last dime,
yes,
who delivered you?
God.
When your body was sick and they said they couldn't do nothing else,
yes,
and someone, something showed up and healed your body,
God,
who delivered you then?
God
did it.
Yes,
don't you put God in a box, y'all. When your friends got few,
yes,
and you needed somebody to come and talk to,
yes,
who whispered in your ear in the midnight hour? God. Don't you put God in a box. That's right. God is the answer to every one of our problems. But without the Holy Ghost, you can't experience restoration without revelation. He told her, help me out. He told her to get some vessels. Fill it with oil. Because if there's no oil in the vessel, not only will there be no restoration without revelation, watch me now, but there'll be no reformation without revival. If there's no oil in the vessel, there'll be no reformation without revival. Reformation without revival, I need you to get this. Nature formed us. Sin deformed us. The environment conforms us. Schools inform us. Prisons reform us. But only Christ, can transform us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And if you experience reformation without revival, you will be empty in showing how much you love God. When you don't have revival in your reformation, all the sermon you just heard will be over before I sign off the air today. You will forget about it before you get in your car or whatever you got to do. You will cuss somebody out in a parking lot, toss it the first chance you get. That's reformation without revival. The Holy Ghost just won't make you happy. He will keep you holy. Don't put God in the box. The Holy Ghost just won't make you happy. The Holy Ghost will keep you holy. The Holy Ghost is just not for church on Sunday, but also for them fools on your job. That's crazy boss from hell on your job on Monday morning. Not for you super saints. For you super church people who don't get nothing wrong. You are so spiritual. You answer your phone and praise the Lord. Your email, you're so spiritual. Your email say, godisreal.com. That's your email. I'm not that spiritual, y'all. There are some days when I blow it big time. There are some days when I mess up and I need the Lord to come and forgive me. Anybody understand my voice? Want to be honest this morning? There are days we mess up so bad that we don't even look like Christian. But thank God, I don't have to look like it. I don't even have to feel like it. I just got to know in my heart that God saved me with his blood. So I need to fill my vessel every day I get a chance. With the awe of his Holy Spirit. That's right, I'm almost done. I'm out of here. I kept you long enough. Now, when you allow God to fill your earthen vessel, this earthly tabernacle, y'all didn't hear me. When you allow yourself to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, things you would do that you should not do, you don't have desire to do those things no more. Oh, y'all hear me. And when you do what you should not do, you are so bothered and disturbed by it, you have to fall on your knees the first chance you get. Or call on the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I have sinned before me. He created me a clean heart and renew in me the right spirit. He said, I was shaping in iniquity. Oh, y'all didn't hear it. He said that block out my guilt take your hand off my life, Lord, because I don't want to put you in a box. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to do those things that are above and not believe. Y'all ain't hearing me. Lord, I don't want to put you in a box. He said, when I feel that I can't make it, I want to find a scripture in your word that know that all things will work together for my good. I want to know that all the weapons that formed against me will not prosper. I will not.
Amen. I will not
put you in a box.
Thank you.
I will not put you in a box.
Amen.
Don't put God in a box.
Amen.
I want God to bless.
Yes, yes.
And God to keep you.
Yes, Lord.
This is my prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Now. When the invitation is extended.
Yes.
When she extends that invitation.
Yes.
I want you to just, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior,
yes,
I want you to surrender your life to Him.
Yes.
You're not hearing the sound of my voice by accident, but God ordained this time for you to hear about Him.
Yes, Lord.
Now is the accepted time.
Yes. Yes.
Now is the day of salvation. And if you have not been doing what God called you to do, or what you say you called to do, God said, it's okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm married to the backslider.
Yes.
I won't let you go. You forgot about me, but I have not forgot about you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
he said,
Lord.
Repent, turn around, and walk according to the dictates of my word. Don't put me in a box. I'll enlarge your territory. May God bless, and may God keep you. This is my prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. And as the altar call has already started,
yes,
I am here to say to you, if there's one of you under the sound of my voice and you feel in your heart that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now and you would like to surrender your life to Him, the Word of God says that you would confess with your mouth and if you would believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Remember, this is not about works. This is by faith. This is just believing that right from this very hour and this very day, if you accept Him, and if you just repeated what I said, I want to let you know you have been born again. And there may be one or two or many of you under the sound of my voice that you don't have a church home. We want to extend welcome to you, and if you would like to be a part of our service, of our church, we would welcome you to the church. If you would call this number, 954-612-0141, someone at the end of that line will pray with you and would welcome you into the family of God. I'm going to pray with you right now, and I'm going to go ahead and ask God to give you the grace as you begin this journey with Him. Amen. Father, you see and you know everyone under the sound of our voices. You heard, Lord Jesus, the cry of that one that decided that this is their day to surrender to you. I'm asking you right now, God, that you would encourage them through your spirit. Help them to realize this walk is a daily walk. Day by day, as they surrender themselves to you, you would do a new thing in their lives. And I pray for that one who decided that they want to be a part of the church, and we haven't heard from them yet. But I'm asking you, oh God, that you would give them the courage to call. And give us, God, wisdom that we will talk to them and we would pray with them as they start their journey with you. We thank you for it now and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I'm getting ready to close this out. Lift your hands for the benediction. I'm sorry, instead of the benediction, we are going to go into communion. Amen. Amen.
Prepare yourselves where you are so we enter in our communion service. chapter 11 and verse 23 reads, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Amen.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
Amen.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Amen.
For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Yeah.
But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And God told his disciples that night, and the rest I will set in order when I come." We back then, those days, they had mountains of sin. We don't have the mountains of sin. Well, I'm at South Florida. We had mountains, but we have mountains of sin in South Florida. And we thank God that we have the blood of the Son, Jesus, that we can climb those things and take those things down.
Amen.
We want to ask Reverend Lyles to ask him who knows all, can do all, to change this from a natural to a spiritual.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come now one more time in the precious name of Jesus. And as we, Lord, stand in front of this table on this Communion Sunday, we came, God, to remember you. Your shed blood, as you shed it on the cross of Calvary. We're going to use the juice as a symbol of that blood. And we know your blood cleanses us from all our sins and from all unrighteousness. And the bread, oh God, which is a symbol of your body that was broken for us. And because your body was broken for us, we can receive healing in every area of our lives. As we remember you today with the cup and with the bread, I pray, God, that we would apply it to our lives. And this symbol of your blood, as we apply it to our lives, it will change from a natural into a spiritual. For Jesus will be cleansed from all our sins and all unrighteousness. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
what your public communion said, you should remove the first layer exposing the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Expose the first layer, which is the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is his body, which is broken for us, each ye, all of it. Remove the second layer. Expose his blood, which was shed for us and for the remission of all sins. This is blood, which was shed for the remission of all sins and for the New Testament church. Drink, eat all of it. Amen.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forevermore. And all who love the Lord say, amen.
Amen.
God bless.